O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you so to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome to our service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior. We pray the Spirit of our God will be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth, we worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son. You bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, because it was your will that your Son should bear the pains of the cross for us and thus remove from us the power of the adversary, help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive remission of sins and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. Amen. Our first Bible lesson today is drawn from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. A very interesting account that he presents here of a happening, or actually a vision that the Lord granted to him. Remember, the history of Israel at that point was the people of God had been deported as captives to Babylon and seemed to be in a hopeless situation, never would be brought back to their homeland, promise of the Savior perhaps not kept. And the Lord reminded them through this special vision that their hopes were alive and well, and he would bring them back to that land and in the course of time have Jesus be born, the Savior of the world. We can also be reminded of two other things as we read through this reading, and that is the spiritual resurrection from the dead we have already passed through thanks to the Lord's work in our hearts by the gospel, and then the one that is coming, the physical bodily resurrection that the Lord in his miraculous power will work for us on the last day. We read this vision of Ezekiel in the 37th chapter, verses 1 to 3 and 9 to 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." So far, the first lesson. Let's join in reading responsively portions from Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. Because he turned his ear to me,
I will call on him as long as I live.
For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. That I may walk before the Lord
in the land of the living.
How can I repay the Lord
for all his goodness to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation
and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord
in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord. And speaking of resurrections, our next lesson from John's Gospel records one of the three physical resurrections that Jesus, we know, performed as recorded in the Gospels, his raising of Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus. We read this story in John 11:17 to 27, 38 to 45. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia. Confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration today is found in Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 11 through 19. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So far the text. In the name of our Savior Jesus, dear friends, a fragile economy, falling stock market prices, skyrocketing energy prices, rising food costs, a war in Europe, gun violence in our schools. The list of troubles causing our citizenry fear and trepidation is quite lengthy, and we could add many more troubles to the list. What if another pandemic hits? Will the Social Security system remain solvent or go broke? So many uncertainties that may cause even Bible-believing Christians to feel a bit anxious and insecure. That's why we're so happy and grateful to the Lord that in the Holy Scriptures He provides us with so many promises by which He assures us that our future lives are indeed, both here and hereafter, 100% safe. Though we live in a world so much unlike the one God originally created, which was worry-free, where Adam and Eve experienced peace unbroken before sin entered and ruined everything. Despite all the thorny problems we encounter in our lives personally, and in the face of societal instability and political turbulence, we Christians are blessed with what might be called spirit security. That is the comforting thought the Lord will lay on our hearts this morning here in our text. We Christians have spirit security. That is, the Holy Spirit of God assures us as Christians that we are children of the Heavenly Father and that we are heirs of heavenly glory. So let's give attention to that first glorious truth of the Scriptures, that teaching of the Bible, by which the Holy Spirit blesses us with a sense of security and safeness and inner peace, no matter what tremors shaking in our world, that we are indeed children of the Heavenly Father. Perhaps no picture in the Bible, actually it's more than just a picture, it presents a glorious reality that the great God of heaven, the creator of all that exists, is our Father, and we are full-fledged sons and daughters. As Paul says here, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. That teaching is presented in many different places in the Bible. God the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Bible books to write about this glorious relationship between us and our God, thanks to the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts of leading us to repentance for our sins and childlike trust in Christ, time and again in the Bible. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, writes, short and sweet, you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The Lord's Apostle John writes in his first epistle, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And that same Apostle John wrote in his gospel, he, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him, and yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Holy Spirit caused the Bible authors to speak so frequently about this blessed family relationship that exists between our Heavenly Father and us, because he recognizes that we live in a world where the troubling effects of sin are seen on every side. All those things we mentioned before, wars, rumors of wars, economic downturns, daily stressors related to work and family and school. Add to this the disintegration of society's moral fabric that so distresses us to see as Christians, and our own sinful weaknesses that crop up on a daily basis. Aren't our spirits prone to become anxious and to wonder whether the future of our lives is safe and secure? And so the Lord reminds us, again, that Bible verse I read, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Two Bible stories that come to mind that provide similar assurance to us as God's redeemed children. The first is the one that's recorded in Luke's gospel, where the evangelist informs us of how tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. And we read there how Jesus then told three parables of the lost coin, sheep, and son. And in that third parable of the lost son, he spoke of that willful, wayward boy who left the security of his father's home and wasted his family inheritance with wild living. And then when he finally came to his senses spiritually, realized the error of his way, repented of it before the Lord, he returned home and his dad welcomed him back with open arms. The other story that comes to mind that you will remember is in the Gospel of Luke, where the evangelist informs us of how Jesus was praying in a certain place. And after he got done praying, a disciple came to Jesus and asked him to provide he and his fellow disciples with guidance in praying themselves. You remember the guidance Jesus gave? He said, when you pray, say, O invisible Lord of the universe, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, that's not what he said. That wouldn't have been very encouraging to think of God as the invisible Lord of the universe or eternal judge of all who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, tenderly inviting them and us to believe that God is our true Father and we are his true children, so that we may pray to him as children ask their dear Father for things. So the Holy Spirit has taught us in Holy Scriptures. We indeed are his children through repentance and faith in Christ. We have a Father in heaven who welcomes us into the safeness and the security of his heavenly family. As the hymn writer also says, we love to sing, today your gate is open and all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. We'll come back to that crown in heaven in a minute. But just think about this. No matter what's happening in your topsy-turvy world that you live in and in your own life, that there's nothing that can change these glorious truths, that the great God of heaven has adopted you in Christ to be his dear son or daughter. Notice also how Paul underscores that truth even further in our text when he says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and then goes on, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So he teaches us when we pray to God in heaven in days of stress and when we may be feeling insecure, to address our God using the same name that Jesus used when he prayed in Gethsemane. The Aramaic word Abba is the equivalent of our English word daddy. It's amazing to think about how God encourages us to address him as our daddy in the same way that Jesus did. When we have moments when our spirits feel insecure, to remember God is my loving father, my papa, and I am his cherished child in Christ. And then also we live in anticipation, speaking of that crown I mentioned a moment ago, of an eternal future that is secure through the inheritance that we will receive as God's children. Of course, that was the ultimate purpose for his only begotten one taking on our human flesh and blood and becoming our big brother. That's why Jesus let himself be subjected to all the suffering of the cross, to secure an inheritance for us that's never going to perish, spoil, or fade. Paul says here, if we are children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in Christ's sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And that buoys our spirits indeed as Christians on the ups and downs of our lives, the heartaches that come when we lose loved ones, pain of medical ailments, emotional strains we experience as young people, as middle-aged people, as older people, whatever phase of life we are in, and then also the trials that we endure just because we are Jesus' disciples, the Christian cross. The Lord foretold we would need to be ready to bear for him because of our faith connection, our family ties to the Lord, our holding fast to him and to the teachings of his word, the opposition we can count on encountering from the world, our confidence, our inner peace in all these trials is that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that's coming. Troubles we encounter now that seem so heavy and difficult, don't they? Well, then be like nothing. I like to think of the pan scale illustration. If you've seen those pan scales, put on the one side all the troubles of this life, the Christian crosses, physical trials and so forth on the one side, and on the other side, the glory that's coming, going to be like this is nothing in that day. And like Luther's comment also on this passage where he says, when we're brought finally to the life of God with the Lord on the last day, Luther said, we're going to spit on ourselves and say, fie on you for not having been bolder in believing in Christ and bearing up under your trials, since the glory now is so great, Luther wrote. But what a wonderful thing to think about. We have this sure promise of our Heavenly Father guiding us safely throughout our life here and then leading us to the glory to come. That's true security, indeed. All the systems of security invented by men, you know, they're subject to breakdowns and failures. Bank security systems, ring alarm security systems, those people sitting in cars, driving around with flashing yellow lights that look like cop cars in store parking lots to ward off shoplifters. security software installed on computers to fend off hackers. Products at the store still are shoplifted. Homes are broken into and computers hacked. We Christians have true, fail-safe, spirit security. Though our lives right now sometimes are touched by troubles. And then right on into the next, security. Blessed, but the best IRA ever. An individual redemption account purchased on the cross by Christ for us and made ours by the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, benefits that we enjoy, not subject to fluctuation, not impacted by goings on in the world, by troubles or any pains that we experience. And finally, when we retire from this world, we will do it also then with glorious security, knowing that the best is yet to come. So friends, think about these things often as you go through your day and through your week, when you're down with an illness, when you face stress and all the troubles around us in the world. Remember who you are, a child of the Heavenly Father through Christ, who will indeed transform your lowly body so that it may one day be conformed to his glorious body and will cause the creation itself on that last day to be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard and protect your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. We desire this morning to offer a special petition of comfort on behalf of the family of Joe Weber. Joe was a brother-in-law of Ed Schipetti, who was called out of this life on March 17th, and his funeral service will be held this coming week in Wisconsin, where he lives. Let us pray. Lord of love, we remember in our prayers the family of Joe Weber, who has been taken from them by death. We ask that you would give them the strength that they need in this time of grief and comfort them with the precious assurance of your love for them in Christ Jesus. May this death also remind us all of how quickly our lives here on earth come to an end. Lead us all to use the time you've given us to grow in our knowledge of you and your word. And when you summon us, may we be found in sincere repentance and steadfast faith, prepared to stand before your judgment seat through the merits and righteousness of our Savior. Amen. Lord God, almighty and everlasting King of all creation and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, hear our prayers. We thank you for the matchless gift of your Son, for the unsearchable wisdom which planned for our redemption through his death in our place, and for the promise of an eternal inheritance through his death. Grant that through your Son we may have your richest blessings, the forgiveness of all of our sins, deliverance from death and the power of the devil, and the assurance of everlasting life. Help us faithfully to honor Christ our Lord by faith and life, by word and deed. Help us to see clearly in him the eternal Godhead, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Inspire us to love and worship him in spirit and truth. By your abounding grace, lift up your church, O God, that we may be saved from all weakness and failure and be empowered for service in your kingdom. Govern the nations of the earth so that people may live everywhere without fear and in the light of your saving gospel. Give your grace to our homes and schools, that our youth may be trained for usefulness in this life and for entrance into the life which is to come. Bless all who labor with mind or hand in providing the things we need for daily living, and give them the understanding that in all human toil, we are accountable to you. Help us to use our gifts as your stewards for your glory. Dear Lord, be the comforter of the suffering, the aged, those who are weak in body or spirit. Be the supplier of those in need, the protector of the fatherless and the defenseless, and the light of salvation for all. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. Let us also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What work can he say to you? He has
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please note that the closing hymn is printed on the last page of your bulletin, 391.